This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today.
Within your connection between this world and the next, brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Center, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Greetings, I'm Barry. Now, this week, my friend in Australia, Jeff Shaw, who runs 88 FM, he puts together interviews from all across the world. Now, today, he's got Eliza from Quantum Healing of the Soul. And she's talking with Sarah Lai, who's in America. She's a medium who comes from Sedona. And she's talking about her experience with psychic drawing.
So today, guys, I am so excited to have Sarah Lyle on. She is a psychic, a medium, and a spirit artist. And Sarah and I go way back. So Sarah, I didn't want to tell people your bio because I like for people to get to know you with the information that you want to provide. So, I don't know, just tell us about your journey and how you arrived at where you are today.
Okay. So I grew up in the Midwest in Nebraska, and it's very conservative. And so I really wasn't encouraged as a child to dive into anything spiritual. It was very religious based. And so I didn't really realize that I had any gifts until I was older, much older, and I moved out of Nebraska. I moved up here to Arizona, kids were grown, came up here, and I was actually going to just use my art. I was gonna do face painting and body painting, and I decided, you know what, let's go to some psychic mediumship groups and just see if I have, you know, the skills. And right away I went to a channeling class, had no idea what that was, sat in the front row, and they asked if somebody wanted to come up in the channel box. And I literally, something pushed me and said, get up there. And I got up there and I channeled one of my guides right away. Didn't even know what that was, but I allowed it to happen. And basically through me, my guide said to the group, show Sarah where she can go to learn about who she is, kind of take her under your wing. And so they did that. They took it serious and the group kind of guided me. And I started going to different groups and practice groups. And I learned about Reiki and all kinds of things. And then I decided, you know what? I really enjoy this. I really enjoy using art to help people. How can I incorporate that with the psychic mediumship? And my mentor in the class said, try spirit art. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. What is that? It's like automatic writing, but you do it with art. So what she told me to do was take my pen, put it down on the paper and just start scribbling. Close your eyes and just let your arm go, just like you do with automatic writing. So automatic writing, you put your pen down and you just let it go and write out the answer to whatever question. So she said, we're gonna try to connect with my uncle. I didn't know her uncle. She gave me the name. And she said, put your pen down, close your eyes. And all of a sudden my arms started moving and I started drawing. And this is the original drawing. It came out in scribbles.
Oh my gosh.
Eyes closed. And I was like, what? She said, that like my uncle. And I'm like, whoa, what? Just like the channeling, like, what? What is this? She said, this is your, where you should head. It's unique. It's different. It's a way to help people. And you're using your art. And I see that you're a natural at it. So let's do it. So I thought I could only do mediumship with it. So I started doing that. Pretty soon I could, my guides let me open my eyes. I started connecting to my spirit guides and understanding what that was. And at first they had me close my eyes and they would break the colored pencils. I started using colored pencils. They would break the colored pencils to change colors. And then eventually they let me open my eyes and see what was in the scribble. And then eventually, a couple years down the road, they let me start using paint. So it's evolved from this to this to this.
Wow.
So it's way, I'm now able to use my artistic abilities. I have my degree in art, but they wanted me to start like this because they wanted me to give up control. I'm very perfectionistic. I wanted to be in control. To channel, you have to give up control. You have to give up complete control. And so that's why they had me do it with my eyes closed. I now know that. But I just had to learn how to do that. And so it took time. A lot of people think it just comes overnight. No, that took time, that progression. But I've been doing it now for 7 years and it has continued my spiritual awakening. It's been magical because, you know, I get new info and then I learn as I go, I study. I always tell people when I work with them now, because I do it professionally now, is, you know, you get these little puzzle pieces from your guide. You get these messages, these intuitive things that come to you, and it's not your imagination. You have to put that aside and realize it's not your imagination. You might write it down, the color that comes to you, the smell that comes to you, the word that comes to you, and eventually it all comes together and makes sense. And so for me, that's what I started doing, is writing those things down, and then I would start studying them. They would give me a word or a name. And I would start studying about it. And then after that, this is where I met Elisa. I had a client who had me do a reading for her online, and she liked my reading. This is before I left Nebraska. I was doing it incognito. Nobody knew about it. And she liked what I was telling her in a reading. So she referred me to her family, and her cousin, Donnie, actually had me do, a reading for him, and then he wanted me to do his guides. And I was starting to do drawings. I realized I didn't have to limit myself. Whatever needed to come through was going to come through. So I started, you know, with people that had passed, and I started with people's guides. And then I realized I can ask whatever, past lives, all of those things, spirit animals, any of those things. And when I did Donnie's guides, all of these beings started coming through that weren't human. And I'm like, what is that? And then I realized as I tapped into my guides that these were beings that were galactic. And then he brought all of his friends from his groups to me to do these channel drawings. And as I was doing them, my consciousness, you know, became more and more aware of things. And at first, when I tried to do his, the energy was so strong that it knocked me almost asleep. I couldn't do it only in doses because the energy was stronger than like a human energy. But then I became used to it. And now I can do it and it's not a problem at all. But in the beginning, it was like that. So he told Elisa about it and then she interviewed me. And then from there, I got a whole flood of people. And so it's just been this journey. And it's taken me, you know, from guides to galactic beings to realizing that I have a lineage galactically, to past lifetimes of mine, being able to see overlays on people's faces and tell, you know, what galactic races they've been. It's been an awesome journey, and it just keeps going.
So it's been as really exciting to see your journey, because I know that Donnie, you know, once he came over, we were all like, oh my God, I have to do this. I have to do this. So my story with Sarah is really special because at the time I was doing some podcasts with another person, and this person also was psychic. She drew a drawing of my galactic partner that I didn't know I had. And it was a very formal picture. So it was just black and white, you know, just a drawing. And it was his face with like a cape, just very formal. And I told my friend, I said, oh my God, he looks like Dracula, like very formal. And he looks kind of looks like Dracula. So later on, when Sarah comes along, I already had been given my guide's names from someone else in Australia who was a very connected person. And she's very well known in Australia. As a matter of fact, she's quite famous over there. And she had come to me for doing hypnosis sessions. So we had been talking, and so she had given me these four names, and they were all very galactic names. They're not names like people names. They were weird. So anyway, I told Sarah, Sarah, can you draw these beings for me? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. What are the names? You know, like nothing, like here you go. So I give her these weird names. And then I said, well, there's this other person that's supposed to be my galactic partner. I said, can you draw him there? And I gave her the name. And oh my God. And Jeffrey, you can't bring it up, right? You can't bring up the picture.
No, unfortunately, I'm just waiting for the... I wanted to get onto our internet provider and ask them there's an outage, but I can't even get online to even do that.
So. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take out... I'm going to show you guys. So this is what she drew. And if you see here, this guy right here, right there, he came in through a portal. You can see the portal down at the bottom. Okay. So those are my guides. My, I think it was a ninth dimensional and then fifth dimensional and then him, who is also, I think, a fifth dimensional being. So what Sarah does is she'll send you the picture, and then she'll give you a reading, and she'll say, they said this, they said that, this is what they want you to know, blah, blah, blah. And then I go, oh my God, I can see that this partner is in the picture. And I said, and she explains to me, well, that's your partner. And he's dressed in a uniform because he felt that last time you saw him, he was too formal. And I was like, how did you know that? Like, how is that even possible that she knew that someone else who had channeled this picture for me, I had words. It was me saying this to someone else. She knew. This information was given to her by this being. And that's why she drew him in uniform. And I was... like, you blew my mind, Sarah, when you said that. Like, seriously, you blew my mind. That was when I knew you were the real deal. When aww. I knew that you, like, and there were other things in there that you said to me that I knew that I had been told already, that I'm going to keep to myself, nice. But that are on the drawing that I already knew. And you came out with the information like that. And it was like, how is this possible? Like, how is it possible? So well, it was just so, like, mind was blown for me, really, truly, just mind blown.
I appreciate that. And you had so much faith in me back then. I didn't even know what was, I mean, it all happened so fast for me, You know, it was like my guides had been waiting my whole life, because I was like 55 before I even started diving into this, you know. So they had all this stuff. And I think all it took was for me to be the channel that I am. And I think a lot of us put in this community, we put pressure on ourselves, or even people that are trying to learn about their gifts, because we all as humans have gifts. We just don't realize it, you know. Yes. And you think, oh, look at that person or this person, and look at all these things that I can't do that. Yes, you can. All you have to do is clear your mind and stop thinking that everything's your imagination, because that's where those channeled messages come through. And if you write them down and you just go with them and you sit, you know, I've said all those things to you, and afterwards I'm like, I hope I don't sound crazy, right? But I allowed whatever came through to tell you. I didn't write it down. I just said it. To me, that helps, because I allow it to just, whatever comes to me, I'm saying it, you know? And you'd be surprised. People would be surprised how these things, you know, happen. I've just been really fortunate. I asked Creator, the universe, my guides, could you please help me to help people without giving the shirt off my back? How do I do that? And how do I use my art to do that? And this is perfect. I can help people. I give you messages about yourself and all these things that your guides, it's your guides that are coming through me and saying these things, this information, so that you get validation that what you may have heard before, or something that you've seen in a dream, or something that you've heard, is validated. Like, I'm not crazy. This is real.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, Sarah, because I don't know if you know this, because I don't know if you've channeled your own guides and put it in a picture frame like I have, but I took my picture frame and I have it in front of my bed, and I see them every time I go to bed and when I wake up. And so it's a very deep connection now, because I see them. I talk to them at night. If I'm not feeling well, I'm like, tonight I'm going to the Galactic Federation med bed. I'm going to get healed. And I talk to them. And it's been huge for me to have this in my hands, to see them, to just feel that connection, that I'm being supported, and that it's not just me in this journey. So that's also been really important for me.
Exactly. And I started doing it for myself, because it seems like anybody who's starting to have their journey and they want to know about their guides, and they're working with people, and they're empathic, and they realize they're very intuitive. You know, I always say you're going to have like a mall's worth of guides. So this is what I understand now, that's different than I did back then, is you have your basic guides, like the ones that you have that I did in the drawing. And then as you've worked with people and you've helped people, there's more that step up, and there's all different groups, and then there's their guides, and they all come through you to help them. And so I wanted to know, like, how many guides do I have working through this? Because I've worked with like 500 people now. And so I'm like, okay. And it comes out like this, you know?
Oh my God.
Like yeah. And that's what I use to show people, like, look at all these. I mean, it's just like a mall's worth, right? So what does that mean? That means that, you know, there's just groups that come through and help. There's groups from past lifetimes. I did one for myself, and this was like the beginning, you know, where it showed one of my spirit animals that I see all the time when I close my eyes. Me as a Syrian being. Because that was one of my first galactic races. And then the Anunnaki as part of, you know, origination stories, and like being a part of, you know, because what I found is that a lot of times when you've lived many lifetimes, you go back before the creation of this earth. So you have lifetimes that are galactic that go back further. And so then my guide started showing me, do you remember that we brought you here in a pod so that your earthly mother could have you, and we come back and watch over you? Do you remember that time that we were sitting on your bed and you thought it was your father and you felt this jolt? They started showing me those things, and it's like, oh my gosh, I do remember that. I remember squinting my eyes like, Dad, is that you? But he was bald. And he looked more human, but he was bald like this, you know, and he was checking on me. So they showed me the story. And you were a catalyst to that because I did that past life regression with you and started understanding, you know, that there are past lives and believing in that. I didn't even know if I believed in that back then. And it started that journey, you know. But yeah, the channeled art has been really helpful to me and to others. There's always a message for me and a message for others. And then the thing that Spirit wants me to know is because it's not my artwork, it's not me putting my two cents in, it is there using my arm and my abilities to create this, that it holds their vibration. So it will do that forever. Even in the little LEDs that I used that were breaking, you know, some of them I kept, they don't break anymore, but I kept them and put them in a bottle. It still has the vibration. So this drawing will always have the vibration. Your drawing will always have the vibration of your guides. And that's why when you look at it and you continue to look at it, it will help you to get downloads. It will help you in your ascension process of your spirituality. And it will also, sometimes people see things in it too. They see things different than they did when they first looked at it. So it's channeled work. And I believe all really good art, whether it's writing, music, artwork, whatever, if it's channeled, you're going to have that experience with it because it is coming from the collective.
Wow. That's just amazing. I know that back when you did my drawing, you at that time were not doing these soul drawings that you're doing now. So how did that come about? And show us an example. If you have one, if not, I can try to bring one up.
I do have this one of me. It was the first one that I did. Because when I started realizing there was no question I couldn't ask, it's just whether my guides wanted to answer it or people's guides wanted to answer it. It's always, is it for their greatest good or is it for show? Because I've never meant to do it for show. I'm not meant to do it for show. So, you know, if somebody says, oh, bring up something and they're just wanting it for show, it won't work. But if it's some message they need, it will happen. So I started realizing that and I said, oh, okay, well, I want to see what my higher self looks like. I want to know what, you know, we talk about our higher self and connecting to our higher self, our essence in its purest form, that the part of us that stays with Creator while the rest of our soul essence comes down and has a human experience or a galactic experience, whatever, being in a body. I wanted to know what that looked like. And so I started with mine. And I don't know if you can see it.
Yep.
And these animals started showing up in them. And the significance of that, and so it's not maybe going to look like you at the time. My hair was very short when I did it. But it is your essence. It is the representation of your soul essence. And so, you know, I've got a little fairy up here because the elementals always seem to want to work with me and they're light energy. It keeps things light. You know, it keeps things magical. The lion that has been tied to me ever since I was little, I used to love lions. And that's the first guide that came through was my lion. I see the eyes, the golden eyes. And then finding out later that it's tied to lifetimes around Sekhmet. So there's so many tie-ins that we don't realize, the Egyptian goddess. And then the hawk that's in there. The hawk, actually, my father had a hawk that he had stuffed, and I always stayed away from it. I don't like taxidermy. And when he passed, he shows up as a hawk. So he's representing my father. And do you know every time that I drive somewhere long distance, hawk or hawks, like a whole bunch of them show up above me and lead the way all the way down. And it's every time that I drive long distance. So it's amazing. And then the owl. Now, the owl I've always been fascinated with, other family members have been fascinated with, and I have recently found out from my guides that that actually is a sign that you are tied to galactic lifetimes. Many experiencers who have memories of being abducted will have seen owls before or after.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
So they are very, very intergalactically tied in. So these were some of the first animals. And then I started realizing there's a totem that we have, as species, we have a totem of animals. It's not just one. There's like Native Americans will show the totem of the animals. We have totems. And that comes from all of the lifetimes we've had. And then the other thing I started realizing is those guiding us, there's way more to it than it's basically been described when I first realized what was going on. We think, you know, maybe it's just angels that are guiding us or those that have passed, but it's actually those that have passed and ancestors all the way back in our lineage as a human. There are animals, there are possibly elementals. There are possibly celestial beings and angelic beings. And when I say elementals, I mean Sasquatch and all of those mystical things that we say aren't real. And then we have different galactic races that we may have been. And then we also have fragments of our higher self, versions from different lifetimes. So we are a galaxy within ourselves, being guided by these versions of ourselves from different lifetimes. So it's a collective within ourself, tied into the collective of every living thing in every timeline, every space, every dimension, past, present, future. Everything is all tied in together. And so those are the different beings or things that can come through in the guide drawing, because it might be a representation from different groups that you have. So that now is coming through to me. And so what I do is I limit it. Do you want one and a short little mini session of your choice? Do you want it to be a past lifetime? Do you want it to be somebody who's passed? Do you want it to be a galactic one or some, you know, who do you want it to be? Or do you want your guides to choose? And then I have a package where there's three and then where there's six. I don't go above six because it takes me about 8 to 9 hours because I paint them now. Wow. And I don't want to channel longer than that. That's a lot. That's hard on your body.
That's huge.
And then you get an hour reading. So, and I'm telling you, it's not just a few things. I mean, you need to take it down because it's going to be a booklet by the time that you're done with the information that you want, and you can ask questions. So, and I'm going to start mentoring, and they're leading me to do mentoring and like some workshops because I want I'm giving too much information all at once. You have to digest it. It's too much. So I'm starting to head that direction as well.
Wow. That's so exciting. That is so exciting. So Jeff is showing us this is a soul drawing, one of the soul drawings that you did.
Yes. So this particular client, and I do this just from a photo. I don't even, sometimes I get their first name, but I don't know their last name or anything. I just get your picture because I want to connect with your energy. And I like it to see your eyes and your smile because, you know, people light up differently when they're smiling. So that's all I had of this client, and this is what came through. She has had more galactic lifetimes than she has had human. So her higher self looks more galactic.
Wow.
And these are four, let's see, there's actually, I usually limit it to four animals, but I just went ahead and let these come through. So the horse and the butterfly are two extra. But she gave me verification on, you know, two of them. And then the other three, she recalled in a dream. So that's why there's so much galactic stuff going on in the background. We talked, and I don't give out clients like you know, information, but it is, when I do these or explaining them, but I will tell you that she had many galactic lifetimes. And then even all the patterns that are going on in the dress are actually talking about human lifetimes and all the cultures that she's been.
Wow.
So lots of stuff.
Wow.
When there's shapes in there, you know, the triangle underneath her with the water is talking about being, you know, having lifetimes in inner, you know, the earth below the ocean. There's a whole nother world there. There's a whole nother world inside the earth.
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay, guys. Yeah. So there's just a lot. There's a lot.
Wow. Well, I did my guides thing, but now it's like, oh, I'm going to have to get one of these soul drawing things. And Jeff, you want to show the one with the dragon? That one. Oh my God. That dragon just,
thank you. Dragons
blew me away.
I love dragons. I used to be scared of them, but I was drawn to them too. You know, like I wouldn't want to stand near one, but yet I do. The protection of a dragon is amazing. And actually I found out, through my guides and doing drawings for people, that many people have dragons as guides because they are tied to the seven rays of the ascended masters. So, you know, they do frequently come through. And what my guides have told me, and it takes a long time to do, because if you look, there's like all these little
things. I noticed.
But yep. You know what? Those are encoded messages for that person. If they meditate with this, they will get downloads in all of that sacred geometry that's going on.
Wow.
So that is what that is. And every color that's in there has to do with the chakras and you know, things that they need to know about. And the white tiger is white because it's a rarity, and it's explaining her soul essence as being rare. And there's so much. Every little thing that's in there has a reason to be in there. And then your guides will tell me what that reason is. And you can ask questions. Well, I see this over here. What is that? And then I will tap in and I will tell you why that is.
Yeah. So, and David Pace was asking what your website is. And actually Sarah is just working on her website, but she has, we'll give you the Instagram and all of, you know, her email, how to get a hold of her. So all that info will be, you know, included in the description of the video. So Sarah is so talented that this is not the only thing she does. She also does, she can bring through deceased loved ones as well. And Jeffrey has the info. So Jeffrey, can you bring up the one that is the woman that has a picture next to a drawing that is the same woman? It was like one of the last ones I sent you.
Should be a man with a picture and a woman with a picture. So I don't know which one you might have.
I only sent him the one that was the younger girl.
Yeah. Younger girl. And I actually have that photo here. I just don't have the confirmation photo.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. So this is, I saw the original. So I was actually just doing a quick drawing. You know, we were doing the online class, but I can do this for people and I have done it for clients. They asked for, they told me, you know, my niece would like her to come through and didn't give me anything but her first name. And this was actually, we were doing this live. So, you know, there's absolutely no way that I could ever go and look and do any whatever. I just want to assure people that, like, I don't want that information for that very reason. And so 3 out of 4 times the person will come through. Now it comes through like a caricature like this. But this is the photo that she gave me afterwards to confirm that it was her. And if you notice, sometimes one of the things that spirit will do is put the same color shirt in just so that you can say, oh my God, look, it's purple. And she had on a purple shirt.
Wow.
Yeah. One time it actually had the same exact outfit on. Like there was a somebody's grandmother and she had on the apron and everything. So it
Wow.
just depends on how much that person needs, what'll come through. The only thing that's confusing sometimes is I've noticed in a pattern of doing enough of them that if somebody dies at a later age, they will come through at the age they thought they looked their best most of the time. So if you're gonna ask, yeah, so if you're gonna ask me to do it of a grandmother or somebody that's older when they passed, try to find some photos first of them when they were looking their best, maybe in their usually 20s, 30s, sometimes 40s, and that's usually what they come through because when we pass, we can look whatever age we want. And I don't. That's how they come through. And it isn't me seeing them and drawing them down. I started by closing my eyes and doing it just like the scribble I showed you. I can just do it now with my eyes open. But it isn't me seeing it and trying to draw it. It is channeled.
Yeah, wow. So when you can you tell a difference when you're channeling, like let's say a galactic versus a regular human being like this person, or is there like a feeling or a it so is or is it still the same telepathic communication? Like there is no difference.
There's a difference. And when I first, okay, so when I've learned the signs for me. Everybody's a little different, but I will say that cosmic energy is way stronger. So
Okay.
for me, my signs are if I hear a ringing in my ear, but it feels like it's muffled with somebody's hand over your ear, and then it might go to the other ear. And then it goes the other. So it's like somebody's doing a hearing test on you and you can kind of hear it, but it's muffled like you've got your earphones on. That's a cosmic guide coming in and it'll quit. At first, I thought I had tinnitus and I went and did the whole testing and I almost passed out on the highway because my understanding, if the frequency is too high for you, you will immediately get tired and almost, pass out. So when I first started, it was like that. And then it started getting to where I just know because I feel the ringing, I feel a little bit of pressure in my head. But I've acclimated to the energies. I just know that it feels, and then I can actually now start to, in my mind's eye, see their presence around me. I can feel it. It's just a higher vibration. It feels like somebody came through and just cleared the energy with a big warm hug. That's what it feels like. Now, angelic energy will feel like that, but this is like that plus the pressure. So that's the cosmic energy. Different beings, depending on where they're at up there, will feel differently. I have found, though, that I can channel. There's nothing I can't channel. It doesn't matter whether they're clear up. Connected to creator or they're down, they're low vibration. I have been protected not to do anything that's not, going to help anybody. But I can see that stuff. It's like a warning. I can see an overlay on somebody's faces. I've seen several different people of lower vibration with an overlay on their face. So that feels more kind of like thick, yuck. Maybe you smell a bad smell, you get a headache, you just feel yucky, like you just feel smothered, like you're in a tiny room and you can't move, claustrophobic. That's what that energy's the lower level stuff feels like. I don't channel that stuff, but if I'm out in public and somebody's, of that vibration, that's what that feels like. Humans, I start to itch. Like here, it feels like something's running on my head. And then if I don't pay attention, it moves down and then it goes all over my body. And then eventually it just pokes me and I'm like, oh, okay, let me pay attention. Let me tune in. That's somebody that's passed. And then all of a
Okay.
sudden you hear in your head, for me, I hear in my head kind of messages. It's kind of foggy, but I hear this message that won't leave me alone. Like, you need to tell, you need to do, I got things to. And then they start using all my senses. Everybody's a little different, but I think that if you're a channeler, it's going to come in easier for you. And they're going to use the senses that you're paying attention to.
Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah. So are you able, have you ever had a reptilian come through at all?
I was going to mention that, but I didn't know if you wanted me to. Yes. I've seen them when I hold certain crystals. I actually, there are some that are benevolent.
Yes.
I have a client who's a benevolent one. She literally, I saw her eyes change in front of me. But the sweetest wow. person, sweetest person. I had somebody work on my trees and they climbed up the tree. And when they came down there, I slipped like that and changed. And I could sense because I express on my face things. And he kind of went, oh, she saw that. And then he was kind of like, whatever. He was harmless. He was harmless. I've ran into up here in Arizona, I've ran into quite a few. And then I asked my guides, why is that? And he said, and the main guide said to me, well, it is hot up there. What do you think? And I'm like, yeah, because I have often wondered, how do these people work like him climbing up at 3 in the afternoon at 116 degrees up the tree, no sweat, no water needed. How did that happen? So, I see overlays on people's faces. And
so are you able to detect them like without? So you're able, like if you meet someone, are you able to say, oh, this is a reptilian? Like,
yes. Yes. And I can look at their picture and tell you.
Oh, the picture. Yeah. Interesting.
I can hear their voice and my guides might tell me if it's going to concern me. I don't tap in if it doesn't concern me or they're not in my space. But when I tap in, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And I can see overlays on people's faces about their galactic races too, like not just the reptilians, but yeah, I can tell.
Yeah. So then I know I've heard that they smell, there's a specific smell to them as well. They're also like, you can feel like they have a tail, or is it like a feeling for you, or is it, how do you know?
I see an overlay on their face that looks reptilian. They usually have a snarky attitude, the ones that are not quite so great. The benevolent ones are nice, you know, like that yeah. kind of freaked me out. But when I did a drawing for the person that is one of my clients that is now my friend, her father, who has passed, was one. And so that makes sense, you know, she didn't know, but she knows now. So the ones that are not so nice, they will manipulate you. You'll get zapped. There'll be things like that if you hang around them enough and you're like, did you just zap me? Like, what happened? They might let it slip. They might let it slip every once in a while talking about reptilian stuff, but they won't say that they are. They'll do things that aren't so human-like. I know one that, you know, they eat the same thing all the time. They don't really know how to catch clues about humans. So they do a lot of mimicking. They're very narcissistic. There's just a lot of, because, you know, we're like food to them. We're like pets to them, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not important. They'll treat you like you're really irrelevant unless there's something you can do for them. And I ran into that and I had to dismiss myself in a very uncomfortable situation, you know, working with them. I thank my guides for letting me know, and I just dismiss myself and move on, you know, but yeah, I have. And the smell, I guess I haven't gotten close enough in that way. There is one, actually, I realized one person that I've dated is of reptilian, but not, he's benevolent. He's not bad. He's a good person, but he literally has a tail. He has a tail.
You can feel it?
No, I mean, it's visible. Yes. Yeah, he has bumps on his back.
Like physically visible?
A little tail. Yes. He has visible bumps on his back and a tail and a little tiny tail. Yeah.
Oh my. That's so interesting.
I never thought anything of that, but my guides tell me, well, yeah, it, but there are many reptilian races. There aren't just the bad ones. And I think that that's what he is, because he feels very angelic. He feels very light, you know, never gets upset about anything, like not the kind that we're talking about. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I just went on that tangent. Let's go back to your work.
Yeah. Sorry about that. But yeah, it gets a little weird at times.
Yeah.
I hope that person does not watch this.
So the idea behind it was I wanted to know if all of that, but also what if anybody's guides had shown up as, because I know some of them are good, so I wasn't sure if some of them had shown up for you to draw in any of the drawings, so I was just wondering about that.
I did have one, and I don't think I have it with me. I think the client has this one. So it showed up. It was a hybrid. It was a hybrid of another galactic being and a reptilian, but it was kind of like shrugging its head and walking away, because she had realized that, hey, I don't have to be influenced by anybody that wants to guide me. I don't have to be influenced by anybody that doesn't have my best interest at heart. You know, I hear clients tell me that sometimes ancestors show up and they try to instill the fear in them and all these things. And it's like, no, you don't have to allow that, you know? And so yes, one time one did, but it wasn't it was just kind of in, you know, she'd had dreams about it, and it was just kind of her standing in her power and saying, you know, no, I don't claim you. So, yeah.
Wow. So interesting. So interesting. Is there anything else that I may have forgotten? I know that we haven't shown other, Jeffrey, you can't show the other guide pictures. Cause I only showed the one that was mine, but there's so many others that are even stunning. With all the ETs on them. Do you have any there with you that you can show us?
I guess this one is, I do have other ones. Did I show, I showed you this one, right? The Lyran? No. Okay. So Okay, so this is a Lyran, and this was one of those where they just did one guide, and this is a being from Lyra. There are cat-like beings, and then there's also, you know, ones that look like lions, and this is one of them that was just the little mini thing that they did. This one was clear back when I first started. This person was out of the country, and it cost more to send it than it was worth. But, you know, they did the bigger package where they got the five. So when you look, there's like a variety of all different, you know, ones in there. This one was one of the galactic ones. So they have, they've got all different galactic beings. One's from Andromeda. One looks like an elemental. There's one that has like the blue Buddha. That's a race. Arcturians oftentimes show up. Let's see. Here was one that was Andromeda. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that one actually has a mantis being in it, but it has a Palladian elemental next to the mantis. Andromeda next to the far left, and then Angelic to the far right. So these were just different groups showing up saying that those different groups are working with that client as, you know, as guides. Let's see. I showed you mine.
Here's a cool one with them. I don't know if it's a mermaid or a merman, but.
Oh, yeah. So this one, this person really had a lot of lifetimes in the under the ocean, and so Atlantis, Merlantis, Lemuria. And so one of the spirit animals was an octopus, and then they had been a merman in a past life, and that was the far left. And then all of these different beings, a mer being to the far right, that was actually one of the part of the structure, so like kingdom. And then these other two in the middle are different mer races. And so all of these were kind of focusing on that. And then all of these balls and everything have meaning to them. They have to do with their gifts, has to do with their status, you know, all of that. Yeah.
Let's see.
You can see all of this stuff on Instagram.
Oh, I love this one.
Post the pictures. Okay, so that one shows that person had a big diversity of culture in this lifetime, and then galactic. So all of these things, you know, Mayan, and there was something that had to do that was Asian, and there was Native American, and there was the far left was a galactic being, and the elemental, and I can't see what the bottom one is, but all of those were like showing up as different groups, and then the panther. And then I think the far right was actually her higher, like one of her past lifetimes. So you can have a past lifetime show up too as guiding you. That shows the whole group of those guiding you. So there's a lot of different, you know, complexity to it. But the Eslile 83 on Instagram will just have pictures. I don't really explain them because it's all clients' private info. But you'll get to feel it, and then you may resonate. I've had several people that resonate with the different beings that are showing up in these drawings. Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that in a dream, or I think I've been that before. And there's quite a few drawings on there. Most of them I try to post on there. I also have it on TikTok too. I've started posting drawings on there. This one is from Andromeda. I'd done that for so many
years.
I gave it to it. And oftentimes the Andromedans will have like a crystal or something in their skull when they show, but they show up with different colored robes to show me their status of, you know, what is their status and how are they working with you. Now this I did want to show you. I know it's a little off topic, but there is such a thing. There's spirit art where you channel it, and then there's art where spirit does it totally themselves. And that's called precipitated art. And I didn't know if I could facilitate that or not, but it has happened to me, and I have an example of it. And what that means is in the paint, in the item, wherever it shows up in image, that is spirit creating that image in that spot. So, you know, when people say there's Jesus' face in a piece of bread, or on the wall in the stain, I see a face, or I see an image, that is spirit doing that. And there's a place in New York called Lilydale, and they have precipitated art. And what they did, the Bang sisters literally put a picture in the closet with the art supplies. They put the canvas in the art supplies in the closet, and when they came back the next day, it was painted by spirit, and it's hung up. And when you look at it, one time there'll be so many roses, one time there'll be more roses or less roses. It changes, just like people say that this artwork, when you stare at it, changes when it's channeled. So this is my example of precipitated art. This was my paper plate that I was mixing my paint in, and this was what happened after I was working on a client's artwork. She wanted to know who was in her apartment in spirit that was bothering her, that was moving her stuff, and she could feel them. She wanted to know who it was. And so this showed up in my paint. If you can see the face, it's half a face on this side.
And on then this side, yeah.
Okay, so what that was is this gentleman passed in her apartment clear years ago, and there was a fire. It was rebuilt. There was a fire. She looked it up, and she found the proof that there was a fire in that building. And this is him coming through with the fire and, you know, his face, but spirit did that.
Wow.
So there's different kinds of spirit art, but that is, yeah, so that's possible.
Yeah, you know, I actually was playing with that, the art where you grab a paint and you just pour it. You put different paints in and you pour it. And if you ask your guides to come through, they'll come through on the on the painting. And it's just amazing with the stuff it's that amazing. Comes out.
Exactly. And you'll see all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Sure. So it's just amazing. So if somebody wants to reach out to you, Sarah, how can they reach out to you? And like, what exactly do you offer?
Okay. So what I offer is you can do straight readings with me. I can channel your info. I don't have to have the drawing. And what you do if you want to get a hold of me is you either go, I am now branded under Your Cosmic Oracle. So you go to yourcosmicoracle@gmail.com and you email me and I can send you all the things I offer, but I offer either straight readings by the time, or you can do one of these packages that I offer with the spirit art. And so I have the smallest one. That is one being, and you decide, or you can let spirit decide what that is. Is it somebody who's passed? Is it a past life of yours that you want? Is it a spirit guide? What is it? Is it a spirit animal? Or do you want to let your guides decide? And you get the little drawing like this, but it'll be on a canvas, and then you get a 30-minute reading. And that is 222. And then I have a regular one that is three beans with an hour, and that's 333, and it's 5x7. And then if you want to go the 8x10, that's 444 up to 6, and you've got a 1-hour reading. Or for 444, you can do a soul painting with up to 6 spirit animals, and you get the hour reading. Postage is included. And then I am going to start doing mentoring. And you can book mentoring sessions, because oftentimes with the information they want to understand, or how to use their gifts, or how to connect to spirit, any of those things. You can add time, or you can get a hold of me later and we can book sessions. And then I'm going to start trainings where I actually help train people in different areas. And so all of those things are offered. Just get a hold of me and I can send you my stuff and we can discuss, is there anything that maybe I could help you with?
Beautiful. Yeah. So exciting. So much more that I want to talk to you about. We could be here for hours talking about galactic beings and everything that you have learned about them. And my gosh, we could just go on and on and on and on. What has been your biggest learning, you think, so far in this amazing journey?
I would have to say learning that, you know, we are all connected, that we are all a collective of one, the universal law of one. Whether it's a galactic being, something in another dimension, all, you know, things from the past, present, future, we're all in a grid connected energetically, every living thing. And we all affect each other. Knowing that opens up the possibilities to connecting to anything. When I realized that, it was magical to me, and it really helped me to want to learn more, to want to grow as a person, to understand that, and that we're connected. You know, if you want to connect to things, go from a heart space of love, and that learning that and realizing that, letting go of all the traumas and all of those things, and like focusing on your heart space and love, you can connect to your galactic families. You can connect to those that have passed. You can connect to anything that's going to help you on your journey. The other thing would be to realize that our thoughts are everything, that our perspective is everything. And so we have control of that. We have control of our perspective and those thoughts that go through our head. We can change those and make them into a positive thought. Yeah, you're going to have some thoughts, but then you just redirect it. And you can guide and direct yourself in a way by tapping into your inner self and going within. And realize that you're never alone, that you've got guides, those guiding you from all different dimensions. And you're never alone. And what you have control of is yourself and only yourself. So working on controlling your inner, you know, your perspective of things, and living in the moment is all that really needs to be done. You know, we don't have to do all these extra things that we think we have to do. We have to learn this and we have to do this. And we be in the moment and enjoy the moment and allow those messages to come through and be still and go within and center yourself and allow those messages to come through, and you will grow and you will learn every day something new from absolutely everything that you experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not doubting those messages too. I think that was a big part for me to learn, was that doubt was blocking me from receiving more messages, right? So don't doubt what you receive, because it's part of you, right? It's part of you coming through.
It is. It is. Yeah. I have one last story to tell, and this proved it to me. So a friend of mine was in doing some trauma therapy, and we're in group, and, you know, each one has their day of discussing in front of the group their trauma and what they've gone through. And this gentleman in front of her, it was his time, and he was explaining some tragic things that had happened to him. And she picked up on his sorrow, being empathic, and, you know, was feeling it. But she literally went within and she connected, like she was actually there during the trauma, and gave him a big hug and told him, "It's okay. I'm here with you. You're going to be okay. You're going to get through this." And she told me about it. And then Spirit told me, "Do you realize she was there with him at that very moment?" And he remembered that. So basically what I'm saying is, time is an illusion. And at the moment, she went back into the past and she projected her essence to him like a guardian angel. So we are, it's like we're everywhere all at once, right? I don't know how to explain that, but do you know what I mean? Like we impact people more than we know. That's something we can all do. And it hits me that, yes, this is a bigger thing than we realize. We're more powerful than we realize.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And now that's the time that's coming now, is the time for us to realize that we are God in a human body, and that we are super powerful, and that we can change the world as it is, and that we can do that with love. And becoming love, and the more of us that become love, right? That's how we ascend. That's what ascension is. Ascension is about moving to love and understanding, letting go of judgment, letting go of what people are doing. Right. Let them do what they need to do. There's contracts in place that is required. And so it's just part of the reason why we're here. Exactly. So, So I'm just grateful that you're a part of my journey. Your abilities are out of this world, and I'm just grateful that you were part of and are still part of my life. And
thank you so much for having me, Annalise. I appreciate you so much. So thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for being here, and I hope to see you next time.
that's Solar Waves from Edwin Goodall. Now, this is a blast from the past, a little bit. George Harrison left lots of comments before he passed away in 2001, and a lot of them are still relevant today.
People always say, I'm the Beatle who changed the most, but really that's what I see life is about.
That the planet is in the control of mad people.
The soul is in this body for a period of time, and then it leaves the body. It's like, in a way, the body is like a suit.
George Harrison is a man who needs no introduction. He passed away November 29th, 2001, at the age of 58. He left behind one of the biggest musical legacies of all time, but also an abundance of philosophical and spiritual knowledge. His intellect on worldviews only grows in relevance as time goes on.
You know, I'm unhappy about the world being concreted over and all the forests chopped down and the air polluted. And that the fact that the planet is in the control of mad people. You know, people who are crazy, people who are greedy, all these people who are selling the rainforest and, you know, any forest, just selling it because they make some money without, you know, I'm very unhappy about that, but I have a long-term view, which is all things must pass. I mean, before it used to be, maybe they're going to blow us up with H-bombs. But even that, I thought, it don't really matter. They can't destroy what's within ourselves. Krishna said, there's no time when we didn't exist, and there'll be no time when we cease to exist. The only thing that changes is the body. So even if they blew us up with H-bombs, our soul will stay in our other astral body. And the only thing that won't be here is physical. So, you know, I'm sad about it, the world, but I look at it from within and without.
In 1968, George traveled to northern India alongside the Beatles, where they took part in transcendental meditation training with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. This is a technique George kept with him for many years to come. Although George learned more than just meditation in India, this trip also helped craft his views on religion and spirituality.
I happened to get into meditation through music, really, Indian music. And I went to India to learn a bit of Indian music. And inside, I always had a desire to know about yogis. And I don't can't explain that one. It's just something that's been in me from some time in the past. And I wanted to know about that. So I had the opportunity to find out about it in India. And consequently, that led into meditation, because really the only reason to be living is to have complete, full knowledge, full bliss consciousness. Everything else is just mundane and secondary. I wanted to know some method of enlarging my own consciousness, and that's meditation. It's been there millions of years, and knock on the door will be opened. The thing that really got me interested was, after being brought up as a Catholic until I was about 13, I couldn't take it any longer because it was just full of hypocrisy. The teachings of an Indian called Vivekananda, which really impressed me, said, if there's a God, we must see him. If there's a soul, we must perceive it. Otherwise, it's better not to believe. It's better to be an outspoken atheist than a hypocrite.
And this, for me, going to India and hearing somebody saying, you know, no, you can't believe anything until you have direct perception of it. And I thought, wow, you know, fantastic, at last, you know, find somebody who makes some sense. And so I wanted to go deeper and deeper into that.
The whole basis of religion is to have the experience, have that perception. So there's these methods for God perception, self-realization, which is yoga and meditation, and the process you have to get from a spiritual master, somebody who's an authority on this sort of thing. And the technique we did with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi was a form of silent meditation, which, you know, you can transcend. The purpose is to transcend from this relative state of consciousness to an absolute state of consciousness. People think, this is me, you know, and this isn't me, this is just a bag of bones. Basically, everybody is a spirit, which is really what Christ was here to tell everybody about. The kingdom of heaven that lies within, which is the state of being, pure consciousness. So through many years of pollution of consciousness through material energy and this association, then we've all ended up in a fallen state. But really everybody is basically a potentially divine. So yoga, all these methods are really ancient methods just to stop the pollution of your system and consciousness and to cleanse the system. The whole thing of purity that they talk about in religion is really a mental, physical and spiritual purity, which is obtained through discipline and through practice. So the meditation we did with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi was to sit silently and to transcend through the sense of sound, like you can transcend with hearing or with touch or taste or vision, like I think some Buddhists meditate by concentrating on an object, like either a garden, Japanese gardens, on candles, looking at into the flame, and they transcend that way. But this method was to transcend through sound. So you give them a mantra. The mantra brings all your body to rest. It calms everything down, and it brings sort of harmony and union just to all your senses. And this way, your thoughts become fine and fine and fine until you can arrive at a point which is transcendental, which means beyond. It's beyond the senses, beyond intellect. People always say, I'm the beetle who changed the most, but really that's what I see life is about. Unless you're God conscious, then you have to change because it's a waste of time. Everybody is so limited and so really useless when you think about the limitations on yourself. And the whole thing is to change, try and make everything better and better. And that's what the physical world is about, is change. Change will happen through meditation. I mean, it's a gradual sort of thing. But the more you realize with anything, with just growing older, the more you realize it helps you in some way. With meditation, you're able to understand that there is this unity lying beneath everything. There's something there within every atom that holds it all together, and that in actual fact it really is one. But on an intellectual level, to say it is, we are one, then, I mean, again, you miss the point. It's an experience. You have to really have that perception. Maharishi said, for a forest to be green, each tree must be green. So if you stand back and criticize the rest of the people, it's again, Christ said, put your own house in order. Automatically, if I'm to criticize somebody else, I suddenly come back to myself and realize, until I'm straight, then I'm in no position to be able to criticize others. Any time of the day, any situation you're in, you can get control of yourself just by sitting quietly and by turning off from the external problems we have. Noise and all this society, you can go inside yourself where it's always calm and peaceful. On this level of consciousness, it's like the ocean, which is always changing, and the bottom of the ocean is always calm and still. And if you're not anchored to the bottom of the ocean, you're at the mercy of whatever change goes on. So that you can still act out your life on the surface, but you remain anchored securely.
When asked about astral projection, he relates back to experiences he had during meditation. His views on astral projection and death also seem to carry similar traits.
A strange experience when I was in Rishikesh. I went on a meditation course where the object was to meditate deeper and deeper and deeper for longer periods of time, to plug into the divine energy and to raise your state of consciousness and tune in to the subtler states of consciousness. And all those things like walking on the water and dematerializing your body at will are just sort of things that happen along the way. So it's hard to actually explain it, but it was just a feeling of just the consciousness traveling. I don't know where to. It wasn't up, down, left or right. No body there, but at the same time, you don't feel as though you're missing anything. You know, the consciousness is complete. How I see it is that the soul is in this body for a period of time, and then it leaves the body. It's like, in a way, the body is like a suit that you put on.
Do you know, have any idea where it goes?
Yeah. Christ said in the Bible about the three cages for the bird of paradise, which is the soul being the bird of paradise, and the three cages being the three bodies that house the soul. And there's the, they call it the causal body, and then around that's the astral body, and then there's the gross physical body. So death is really when the physical body falls off, but the soul's still in two other bodies, so it's then on the astral level.
Do you think life is all predetermined?
In some respects it is, although we do have control over our actions right at this moment. I think what we are now is the result of our past actions. What we're going to be is going to be the result of our present actions. As again they said in the Bible, that God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That means the law of karma, action, reaction. So we can, there's certain things that maybe there's no way out, like, there was no way I wasn't going to be in the Beatles, even though I didn't know it. In retrospect, I can see it was a setup. But at the same time, I do have control over my actions, and I can, you know, do good actions or bad actions, or I, like I said, I could try being a pop star forever and going on TV and do concerts and be a celebrity, or I can be a gardener.
The world is run by mad people. Unfortunately, some of them reside down in Wellington, but never mind, that's another story. It was in 1973 George Harrison recorded Give Me Love, Give Me Peace. So enjoy. I am Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you. Take
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.